ami. Il catalogo è questo delle belle cavo il padron mio, un catalogo che ho fatto io.
Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UALR Public Radio. Listeners may remember that short list of festivals, five in all, listed 3 weeks ago, beginning in Hot Springs. Now we've reached Eureka Springs and Opera in the Ozarks, that I always feel should be heralded by the sound of music, for the hills in Eureka are surely alive with music, this year by Mozart, Puccini, Leoncavallo, and Benjamin Britten. Young singers with great voices in this Arkansas summer residency that more than holds its own with such programs across the country. Graduates are finding roles in many of the main opera houses in America, in what was first known as the Opera at Inspiration Point. Thomas Cockrell was appointed music director of Opera in the Ozarks in 2010. He has impressive credits in opera in America and abroad, from Cincinnati to the Spoleto festivals in Italy and South Carolina, and many places in between. A Yale graduate, he has served as director of orchestral activities at the University of Arizona, where he is also director of opera theater. He had just arrived at the point when we talked in May. Each new season is announced before the current one closes, and I asked Tom if he ever sounds out his choices with other members of the musical staff.
I float some ideas, but I'm responsible for the programming, and, you know, I'm dreaming a year or two ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I zero in on things, you know, I talk to colleagues here, and, you know, I'll say, you know, well, what about this? What about that? And we bat it around. But I've been pretty secretive in past years.
But they're great choices. Don Giovanni, I think, has some of the best ensemble singing in all opera, with its duets and trios, that gives all the singers a chance to speak their mind, of course, but also to show what their voices can do and what they can do on stage, because it's just one of my favorite operas. So I'm so glad you're doing that.
It is one of mine. Yeah, it's one of mine as well, and you know, all three of those Da Ponte operas, the Marriage of Figaro, Così fan tutte, and Don Giovanni, are so rewarding, especially for young singers. Those are roles that they want to get their hands on, get their voices around, so to speak, and perform, because they are performed very frequently in the professional world as well as in conservatory and university settings.
I know, and that's where Opera in the Ozarks is such a jewel for young students and young singers, because they know they're going to come and learn roles that will be marketable.
That's for sure. And this year we have, we've always had sort of two levels of training program. We have our emerging artist program, which are the more mature singers, generally graduate students and some postgraduates. And then we have the studio artist program, which are primarily younger singers, less experienced, and they prepare their own performance, their own show, with about a one-hour outreach work that this year is the story of Pinocchio, that goes out to community centers and schools and church camps and stuff like that. So those younger students perform about 10 times, and then, of course, they're in minor roles and in the chorus on the main stage. But this year, because of the repertoire we've chosen, you know, Pagliacci and Il Tabarro are really for mature singers. We have a couple more experienced people already out into their careers who are coming back to because they want to do these roles. So we sort of have, you know, three strata, and so there's a real advantage to the young singers to see these young professionals as well as, you know, the graduate student level student above them. So it's quite a society this year here.
Yes, I can imagine. The people that you had last year, which is the first time I'd been up for quite a while, I was so impressed with their stagecraft. They knew what they were doing and what they were singing and how they were moving, and it was just such an enjoyable experience to sit there and let them do their thing and enjoy it. And their voices were so impressive, some of them particularly so. But some of those young men were hardly out of teenage, and they behaved like pros. The young man whose name I cannot remember, but he was so good as the father of the two sisters in Cenerentola. And his ability to be the clown and sing as efficiently and as gloriously as he could and keep the audience on his side because he was so funny.
Yes. We worked them hard. I always have a couple really fine directors that are used to working with younger people, knowing how to pull it out of them. You know, to work with professionals come with a certain level of expertise and, of course, experience when they show up for a production. But here, a lot of these students and young artists have not had that much training, so it really takes train them and shape them and give them ways to develop character and bring it to life on stage. And I'm very pleased with what we can get out of them in, you know, our 4-week preparation before we open.
I know, it's amazing. There was one man that more than one singer mentioned to me of how much he had brought out of the works that they were in just by what he had them do on stage, not necessarily singing, but just the person they were supposed to be portraying. And I never got to meet. I think he'd had already left by the time Federation Days came up, whether he would be coming back, because I was so impressed. I think the one thing that really tickled me and I thought was so appropriate was in Tales of Hoffmann, when the toy scene where the doll is usually wound up, everybody on stage was a toy. And I thought that was so clever.
Yeah, I thought that was nice staging last year.
It was just the way it should be. And Il Tabarro, you don't often see that paired with Pagliacci.
Well, Il Tabarro, of course, is part of a trittico, but that makes for a very long evening. And it's a much more vigorous sing than either Suor Angelica, except for the lead, Suor Angelica, and Gianni Schicchi, except for Gianni Schicchi. So it's real blood and guts roles for the tenor, the baritone, and the soprano in that. They share, of course, you know, the theme of infidelity and murder, but they, you know, also, Puccini's written later than the Leoncavallo Pagliacci, but they share that, you know, that realism, that operatic realism.
Well, I think the only time I've ever seen it was one of those Met telecasts, and I think it was Stephanie Blythe who sang the female role in that. And she was very impressive. But the Pagliacci that I remember the best was one done at Opera in the Ozarks, one that Carol Freeman staged. And he did a very clever thing that I thought was just right. You know, Tonio comes on with the prologue, and then you have all the blood and guts through the songs, through the opera itself, and then everybody's dead on stage. Antonio comes on and sings La Commedia e Finita. He was the one. He bracketed the opera.
That is the way that the composer wrote it. You know, very often the last line has been given to tenor, but the composer did specify Tonio, who of course does the prologue and sets it up as an actor. And then, he brings it around at the end, Tonio.
Yeah. Well, if that's the way he wrote it, then I think he had the right in mind. So that's the two together. And then I love Albert Herring. I think it's been done at the Point before, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been done a couple times before. The last time, maybe 6-7 years ago. But it's another one that has lots of really tasty roles. And the comedy is just delicious. You know, I think many of the in-jokes are lost on the American audience, but you would certainly be able to come and understand a lot of that. But, it's just, you know, with a season with so much tragedy in the Puccini and Leoncavallo, and then the Don Giovanni, which is really sort of a mix of, tragedy and comedy, you know, a dramatic drama giocoso is what Mozart called it, we needed some levity. And so Albert Herring fits that perfectly for us.
It certainly does. And they do have almost slapstick with the young people. And the newsletter that came out had a long discussion of the opera to show people what was coming up for Albert Herring. And he picked up on a chord that he referred to as the Tristan Isolde chord. at the, when they were drinking the toast to each other.
That's right.
But when I was listening to it, I heard Siegfried's Rhine journey that followed Albert in his drunken ordeal in the night had that same kind of music in the back.
Britain is very witty, of course, and there are many in-jokes that only people that really know opera would get. So little hidden gems of humor in there for us.
Well, was I wrong? I thought I heard a Petrushka chord at one point.
Well, Britain's musical language, of course, resembles Stravinsky somewhat. I'll have to keep an ear open for that.
I couldn't tell you when I heard it, but I'd been studying Petrushka for something in my courses I was taking, and it became very much in my mind. I may have wishful thinking put it in, but I'm sure I heard it. But when you put something together like that and you've been mulling over it all the time that you're working through the 4-8 weeks at the point where you are right now at the beginning of the 2016 season, it must be very difficult to... You've got, in effect, a three-life year, don't you? You work in the desert.
Yes.
You work at the point. And then you spend what time you can squeeze in, all these auditions, all the people that you're hearing and thinking, well, I thought this one might be perfect for this opera, but this one might be a bit better, sort of thing.
Yes, my work recruiting the students or the artists for the next year really begins in September, October, as I line up the auditions. And then soon after Thanksgiving, I'm out on the road, going to New York, Chicago. I go to quite a few cities in which there are major universities, Houston, Dallas, Boston, around about Lawrence, Kansas, Kansas City. I make sure to hit the schools in the central region here because they've been the stalwart suppliers of voices here for 66 years. And then in early February, I'm also reviewing YouTube auditions, and some people still send DVDs. No such thing as videotape anymore. And then I go to work assembling the company. And that takes the better part of February, making offers. And I've usually got the singers sort of lined up by early April, and then I'm recruiting the orchestra and staff members. So it's a full year that comes to fruition when I can actually pick up my baton and begin first rehearsal here when we arrive at Inspiration Point.
And this year it's a bit earlier than usual. And so when I air
this...
A little bit, yes.
I think because of the way the calendar works out, I think every 5-6 years, we have to flip back a week. But yes, indeed, we're here a little bit earlier, and the season closes earlier. We close on July 15th this year.
Right.
Seems early, yes.
And I've had to put in some other things on the Sunday before you open, so unfortunately, this chat will be aired on the 19th, which is 2 days after you open on the 17th, right?
Well, I still think for the audience there in Little Rock, we'll still be able to have quite a...
Oh, yes.
Only for them to come up, yes.
It at least gives them a nudge to say, oh my goodness, I haven't got my tickets yet, sort of thing, and there's still time to get them. But I never get up.
Yes.
And particularly now, I have to see who's going for the Federation Days so I can hitch a ride up there. My ability to drive those 4 hours of winding switchback roads from Little Rock to Eureka Springs is in the past.
It was a pleasure to see you here last year. It was a great surprise that you were here, and so I hope you're able to find someone who will bring you up again this year.
Yes, and I have a dog that I have to make sure she gets a good home to stay over when I'm gone because she's very special and she's elderly and doesn't like changes too much. But these things can be... Well, they'll fall into place, particularly when I had such a good time last year, and it was such fun really to talk to you, because I don't think when you first showed up at Inspiration Point when I was coming on a sort of regular basis that we really met.
I don't believe so, no.
I know I've spoken to you several times, but then I usually try to get the director, and the last live director, shall I say, was the Cantrell.
Yes, Roger.
Roger, and I think he had one more season after I stopped coming. In the meantime, I'm hoping to be back again because it's the sort of thing I feast on, and Pamela gives me house room when I'm up, and we have a wonderful time. And so,
well, I hope you make it this year.
I have every intention of making it if I possibly can. And the other things, of course, that I love to talk about is how you visualize all the extraordinary ins and outs of the operas that you're doing. For example, Pagliacci. Tonio is Iago, is he not?
Well, there's certainly similarities in the character.
And the way he
undermine the relationship and insinuate his way into circumstance.
And where they have no idea how they're being manipulated. And he's jealous of Pagliacci and his woman and all the things that make for good opera and good drama and good music.
Both of those operas are just monuments, I think. I love both of them, and we have a wonderful cast that they're sharing those roles. As the baritone in Il Tabarro plays the baritone in Pagliacci. They're both getting a full. The singers are getting a full evening's worth of work out there.
And how many will you cast on each role? Do you know how many around you right now that you can do a double cast at least, if not more?
Oh, yes. You know, I make sure it's double cast only. I want to give everybody at least three or four opportunities with it. So I generally only double cast, no more than that.
But you know so much. Now, when you're back home, what are you doing with voices when you get back to... Where is it you are?
Arizona.
Arizona, that's
right. I'm at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Well, we have undergraduate and graduate students, in vocal performance there. So that's how we assemble our casts and produce opera there.
Do you take some of the singers that you're working with there or invite them to the Point? Or are they too young?
Some audition. No. They're the right age and everything. I've had some come, but I encourage them to do other things. You know, they work with me for 8-9 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for them to get out and do other things.
And do they all go into professional singing?
Well, I think many, in university setting, others are training to be teachers. But yes, generally, bachelor music and vocal performance people aspire to perform in as well as teach.
When you go to your various audition sites, how many singers do you have a chance to listen to?
Well, I audition between 250 and 270 people every year. Most of them are live. Quite a few of them are now on YouTube, which is very convenient. But, if I go to a place like the University of Houston, where there are just lots and lots of singers, and it's also very convenient for others in Texas and Louisiana to get to, I'll have a full afternoon. I'll sit and listen for 4 or 5 hours of people that come in for 10-minute auditions.
Yes. And some you'll listen to and you'll think, aha, that's a voice worth listening to in a year or two sort of thing.
Yes, or, immediately. Of course, they're all interested in being considered for that year only because, people's opportunities and schedules change. So, I'm listening primarily for this year, but there's certainly others that, I aim them to come sing for me again.
Yeah. And whatever your mind is spinning this year for next year, there are sometimes voices you hear that you want very much have come to the Point and start thinking of whatever hasn't been done for a while that would be fun to play with as an opera.
Oh, yes. There's, you know, with this age of young artists, there's a sort of a core repertoire of works that they want to do. And then I always throw in, you know, something, you know, Don Giovanni's very standard. Albert Herring is actually rather standard in university circles, not so much in the professional world, but it's a work that young artists want to do. But Pagliacci and Tibaro are not common appearances on stage at conservatories and universities, because it's really for more mature singers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of the special work this year, the special evening.
And a sort of hook for some singers who would love to get their teeth into the role, as it were.
Yes.
And again, I don't know whether I'm just out of in left field, as you might say, haven't seen the opera Il Tabarro as often, or heard it as often as they would have done Pagliacci or the other Tritico things.
Yes, it's definitely not done as much as Suor Angelica and Gianni Schicchi, which are actually performed very often.
Yes, I think that UCA is planning it with Rob Holden for this coming season. He and I were talking.
Good.
Which is, you know, as it should be, that there should be things on the plate which you can take somewhere and somebody will ask you, have you done this as a role? And they can say, well, yes, I have actually. And all of a sudden there's a rapport or a situation where that experience in the year or months before pay off. And that's one of the reasons these summer programs are so valuable.
Well, and you know, these artists are spending 12, 15 hours a day, you know, doing opera here, working in, you know, at least two of the productions, and also being in chorus and helping build sets and costumes. And, you know, in the university setting, you know, opera rehearsal would be a couple times a week, maybe three or four times a week for a couple hours, but then you're doing your math homework and your general education credits and all those things that students have to do. But here it's a special situation for, you know, in 10 weeks.
That was Thomas Cockrell, music director of Opera in the Ozarks. The 2016 season opened 2 days ago, on June the 17th, with Mozart's Don Giovanni, followed June the 18th by Albert Herring, Benjamin Britten's only comic opera. The double bill, Leoncavallo's I Pagliacci and Puccini's Il Tabarro, on June the 21st, after which performances continue repertory style through July the 15th, with runouts to Bentonville's Arendt Arts Centre when noted. For tickets, call 479-253-8595 or online opera.org. As already mentioned, Opera in the Ozarks 2016 season opened June the 17th with Don Giovanni and Albert Herring. So in the time left, a little music. From Don Giovanni, here's the scene where the Don sees Zerlina, the enchanting village maiden, sets out to seduce her and takes her hand. Until Donna Elvira, one of his many conquests, catches them. Lacci darem la mano.
Thank you.
Vedete che io voglio divertirmi.
Divertirti? Davvero? Divertirti? Io so correre come tutti i diverti. Ma, signor cavaliere, il ver quel che la dice?
La povera infelice di me innamorata, e per pietà deggio fingere amore. Io son, per mia disgrazia, buon di buon cuore.
Thomas Hampson, baritone, sopranos Barbara Bonney and Roberta Alexander. From a recording with the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra Amsterdam, Nicholas Harnoncourt conducting. And that concludes this week's programme. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Anne Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR Public Radio.